get your attention. Let me get your attention. I know that was not enough time. Tess, whistle for me. I love it when Tess is here. All right, how many of you have seen the movie Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs? Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. All right, the main character, his name is Flint Lockwood. Flint Lockwood. Now, Flint Lockwood is this, he's a genius. He's a geek, right? He's this really skinny guy. He wears a lab coat all the time, right? His dad is like this box with a head. He's got no neck. He is a sardine fisherman, and he works at a bait shop. Now, every time Flint Lockwood's dad opens his mouth to talk to Flint, he uses a fishing metaphor. Every time. Okay? And what the movie doesn't really say, and Flint Lockwood doesn't get it at all. Dad, I don't understand fishing metaphors. He says that over and over in the movie. Well, the real genius in the movie is Flint Lockwood's dad. That he can think in terms of life. He can think about life in terms of fishing metaphors. That takes... He's got this grid that he sees things through, and he's able to... And so what you need to do, and what I need to do, is we need to be like Flint Lockwood's dad and think about life through and with the cross of Christ. Okay? And so that's part of what this exercise is about. Because the Bible writers, Paul and Peter, 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, and 2 Peter 1, these men believe that the Scripture is adequate to address comprehensively the issues of life. That in the Scripture we have everything we need to understand our children and to communicate with them. And so that's what this myth is. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to bust this myth that we can't apply the bread of life to our children. So let's look at probably one or two examples. Little girl won't share. Okay? Little girl won't share. How many of you have? Well, I won't ask. But little girl won't share. What's the law there? What has our little precious princess broken? What law of God? No. Okay. Hers was more spiritual than yours.
That's not right.
All right. So you talk in terms of covet or hoarding, right? Or however Elizabeth or Lonnie here described it, but the little princess has broken the law. She's not sharing. She's coveting. She's breaking the law of God. She's guilty, right? At that moment, she's guilty. And so what we want to do is, what do we usually take the cop-out route and say, would you just share with your sister, please? Can't you see I'm watching TV here? That's where we go. But that's not parenting in light of that's not getting you to the destination. Because your little princess, my little princess, coveting, hoarding is an opportunity. Remember? It's an opportunity for you to crack open her heart and step through with the gospel. So, what does it sound like? What does the gospel sound like? You can say something like this. You know, honey, all of this belongs to the Lord Jesus. He is the King. He became a man so that he could redeem what's his. He didn't pay with money to get this stuff, but he paid with his own blood. Right? So this doesn't belong to you. Jesus Christ died so that he could own everything. And you are taking from what's his. Something like that. Right? What did anybody have examples of how you would talk through the gospel in that example? Because you want to use the child's law breaking as an opportunity to say, this is the reason that Jesus Christ died. Because you have demanded to be queen in this kingdom, and there's only one king, and it's Jesus Christ. Yeah, Elizabeth. It's, you see how you've got to have both of these elements. The child needs to know that she needs a Savior. She's broken the law. This is not the way that we live in the kingdom of God. The way that we live in the kingdom of God is by faith in Jesus Christ. And so you talk about how she is committing sin. She needs to repent of her sin. And that means to stop being sinful and to share. And you know, that's the way you just need to focus on both elements.
Let's look at the next one. Your son is lazy. Your son is lazy. What's the law breaking there? Do none of you have lazy sons? What law is a lazy son breaking? Do all your work for the glory of God, right? 1 Corinthians 10:31 and Colossians 3:23, right? I mean, clearly, he's breaking the law. He's lazy. He's doing the minimum, right? God doesn't do the minimum. There's not just one kind of tree, right? God does not do the minimum. The Bible tells us to do all that we do for God's honor and glory. Everything we put our hands to do, we should do with all our strength. Now, how would you then, after having shown him how he's broken the law, giving him the gospel? How does that work? What are your ideas? Okay, we're almost out of time. You can say something like, there were times in Jesus' life where he could have leaned back and rested from the work that God the Father gave him to do. One time in particular, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was praying. And he was there doing the work that you should have done. He was walking the path to pay for your sins. Now, where would we be if Jesus had not fully engaged in this great work of saving your soul? Okay. So it's both the law and it's showing how Jesus kept the law on behalf of our children. Okay, he uses several other examples, but like Flint Lockwood's dad, thinking in terms of fish metaphors, as your children live and interact and work, and as you have opportunities to show them how they break the law of God, because if you don't show them, we've talked about this, you don't show them how they've broken the law of God, this is not going to make any sense to them. The love of God only really makes sense in light of the wrath of God. And so both of those are necessary. Okay, both are absolutely necessary. The last myth, and I'll go into it just very briefly, is that we're not competent to teach our children. You know who is not competent? Who is not experienced? Who is not educated? Abraham. Quickly turn to Genesis 18. Abraham was called out of a pagan culture. Moon worshippers, sun worshippers, child sacrificers. He was called out of that. What was Abraham's knowledge of the works of God? He had zero. Okay, he had zero. He didn't have this, the scriptures. He had zero. But what was God's expectation? Somebody read Genesis 18, 16 and 19 for me quickly, please.
Then men rose up from there and looked down towards Sodom, and Abraham was walking with them and sent them off. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do, since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed? For I have chosen him in order that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, in order that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about.
That's good. So you see, God's expectation of Abraham was that he would train his children in the way of God. Here you've got a man who has no context, no background, except pagan worship. No experience with the scriptures. He has no book to pull out to figure out how to do this. Yet God's expectation was that he would do it. And so how could God expect this to happen? He expects it to happen because he gives you and he gives me the Holy Spirit and the Scriptures and the church. And then he says, go and do what Abraham did, right? But there's one thing that I want to point out before we go, and that's a quote from Farley. He says, a child in this condition, and this condition he's referring to is the, you know, the kid in the grocery store or at Lowe's who throws himself down and he kicks and screams and he seems inconsolable, right? You know what it's like to look at that child, either your own child or somebody else's child, right? Farley says, a child in this condition will be difficult to teach, but disciplined children can sit still long enough to be taught. So brothers, if you want to enroll your children in the school of Christ, then you must do so as you discipline them. Disciplining your child is the foundation upon which their learning about Jesus Christ is built. Okay? We want to do both at the same time. Pour in the Scriptures to our children and discipline our children. It's not one or the other. Okay? Not one or the other. Because the only way our children can be converted is if they're enrolled in the school of Christ. The only way that can happen, brothers, is if you are walking faithfully with Jesus Christ. And you're encouraging and shepherding your wives to do the same. And together, you're leading your children. Okay? That's how this is all designed to work together. But don't despair. Okay? Because God is the author of all of this. And He is the one who will give you the Holy Spirit, has given you the Holy Spirit, so that you can do what you need to do. So don't fear. Brothers, don't fear. All right, take steps of faith. God will meet you at every single step. Okay? Let's pray. Lord, we thank You that You've given to us the Word and the Spirit and the Church. We pray that we would take this responsibility that we